Good morning. How are y'all doing this morning? Let's go ahead and begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, God, I thank you for giving us another day. Father, I pray that you would help us to not take this day for granted. I pray that you would help us to not take this time for granted. Father, I thank you for our ministry teams that are led by our deacons. Father, I pray that you would renew our vision for the role of the ministry teams in the life of our church. And I pray that you would renew our individual visions for our roles in these ministry teams during our time this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning what we want to talk about is, as most of you have heard, or what we want to talk about are our RBC ministry teams that are led by our deacons. Now, as soon as I say the word ministry, we need to be careful, right? We don't want to fall in the trap of thinking that ministry is not my job, right? Like is represented in the attitude shown in the picture, the paint striper just said, it's not my job to move that log. Somebody else needs to do it. So he went around it. Now, for many of you, that is not your attitude towards ministry. You don't see it as someone else's job. But we need to be cautious here that we don't assume that where ministry needs to be done in the life of our church family, that there's someone else who will do it, that I don't have a responsibility, that you don't have a responsibility. A number of times as we have been in the sanctuary together as adult Sunday school classes and in other settings, I have presented and reminded to you our picture for discipleship at Reynoldsburg Baptist Church. When we look at Scripture, we see that Christianity is not simply fire insurance, right? When we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are submitting to Him as our new King. We are putting off the old self that says, I am in control, and submitting to the Lord as our ruler. And when we look at what the Lord expects of His followers, He says the two greatest commandments are to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. And when we look at this in terms of discipleship, we see that we as followers of Christ are called to love the Lord and grow in our love for the Lord. We are called to love our neighbors. We see as we probe that, what is our neighbor? When we ask that question, who is my neighbor? Jesus says that everyone is our neighbor. And our neighbors are broken down into two categories: fellow believers, one another, and those who are not believers, the world. So as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we are called to love the Lord, to love one another, and to love the world. And in our Sunday school classes are one of the key strategies that we have for facilitating and encouraging love for one another. But by and large, that is a focus of loving those who are like us, loving those who are in a similar demographic that we are in. But the Lord has in mind that when we are to love one another, it is much larger than that. We are to love not only those who are like us, but we are to love those who are not like us. We are to care for brothers and sisters who are older, who are younger, who are richer, who are poorer, and so on and so forth. And our ministry teams really help facilitate that. They provide you with tangible opportunities for you to care for and to love your brothers and sisters whom you might not have any other reason to have contact with. So understand that discipleship is growing in our understanding of the word, but it is also growing in our living out, our doing of the word, so that we are not just hearers, but we are doers. And the ministry teams help facilitate that. And so I ask you, as one of your pastors, to give the deacons your full attention this morning as they present to you again the vision for the ministry teams, and in particular, how you as individuals can play a vital role in these ministry teams. So at this time, I'm going to turn it over to Mark Prince, our chairman of the deacons.
Thank you, Pastor Greg. Well, to start, permit me to give some background. This is particularly directed at those who are new to RBC, but it's good for all of us to review this, as inevitably there's always some confusion that will occur about the RBC ministry teams. So maybe at least this morning we can all get at or near the same page of understanding about the role of the ministry teams. Now, many of you, particularly those new to RBC, are probably more familiar with a deacon family model of ministry. In the deacon family model, it is definitely a deacon-only service model. So there, in that model, we end up giving a proportion of the church body to various deacons who are then responsible for all the needs of that various group that has been assigned to them. And I emphasize all their various needs. So in that family model, it actually addresses service work that is beyond that typically recognized as that set aside for the office of deacon to address. So it's a very broad-based ministry approach. Now, the team ministry model, is a church-wide ministry of service, not a deacon-only ministry. The team model acknowledges that there are distinctions of acts of service that are not unique to the office of deacons, and it enables the church body and the members of it to come together and serve each other. For example, ensuring that life events are recognized and celebrated together, such as baby showers. Now, that's typically done within our Sunday school class structure. It's done very well, but there are occasions where maybe a new member's not assimilated into a class structure yet. So that team can step up in those scenarios and help ensure that that new member has this opportunity to be celebrated the gift of life that God has granted their family. So there are unique acts of service beyond the office of deacon that these team ministry models can help us all be engaged in serving each other. It's frozen. Well, while Greg's working on that, it was pointed out also that to make a distinction that these team ministries, they're not associated at all with the committee structure or anything. So you can be serving on committees and other various positions and still serve on ministry teams. Ministry teams are unique service models for ministry for all of us to engage in. All right. RBC switched from the deacon family model to the team model in the early 2000s. So we're arriving at almost a decade worth of experience in this ministry model. You're going to be working a lot there, Greg. Okay, why the switch? Well, the deacon family model was not supporting the pastoral staff sufficiently in serving the ministry needs of the congregation. And you go ahead and do one more. Deacons are indeed to support the pastoral staff in ministry service. I mean, this goes all the way back to the origins of the office in Acts 6, where men were set aside to carry out the feeding of the widows at that time. So that was to enable the apostles to have more time in the study and ministry of the word. So indeed, the deacons are to support the pastoral staff to free them up. Well, we were facing many challenges with the family model at that time, and it was not sufficiently supporting the pastors. One of the challenges we had in the 90s was the pace of the growth of the congregation. The ratio of deacons to families grew so much that we were not capable of supporting them as much as it needed to be supported. So we considered this alternative approach. You can go ahead and do the next one. So since that was being challenged, we looked at this alternative and embraced it as an opportunity to try it out. Now, the deacons are still very involved and the team ministry model. They provide leadership for each of the teams, and they also partake in service through these teams. Now, do not interpret, you can go ahead to the next one. Both the deacon family and the team are valid models of ministry. So please do not interpret this change as saying that one model is better than the other. There's pros and cons to each of these, and it will depend a lot on the demographics of your particular congregation as which plays out better in your local situation. So these are both valid models, and stated it was just that at the time the family model was not working to serve and support our pastoral staff sufficiently. So we looked at this opportunity to embrace the team model. Now, I'll be repeating this, but it's something that's worth repeating over and over. Both models do honor and respect acts of service that are unique to the office of deacon. In our practice, it is much like what the founding president of the Southwestern Seminary, B.H. Carroll, stated to have heard the late S.S. Lattimore say in a sermon, that deacons are responsible for serving three tables, the table of the Lord, the table of the minister, and the table of the poor. Well, beyond that, there are unique opportunities where we all can be engaged in ministry opportunities. And so each of these models recognize the distinction of acts of service, and we certainly honor that as well within these team ministry models and segregate the unique service acts to the deacons that are of the office of the deacon. And those beyond that, the teams can be engaged in, as I mentioned earlier, like the baby shower support and other actions of service that the individual team representatives will go in detail this morning and share with you how you can serve. You can go to the next slide. Okay, the benefits of the team ministry model. You can do one more. Better utilization of unique gifts God grants each of us. Another challenge we have with the deacon family model was that not every deacon had the same gifts, yet they were expected to serve all the various needs of their population of families that they were to serve. So with the team model, we can line up individual gifts better to serve one another to the need that needs to be addressed. For an easy example, you do not want me coming to your house for a plumbing problem. You'll have more problems before I leave than you had before I got there. So there's probably someone else here that would be better for you in that kind of service. So the team model allows us to really line up gifts better with areas of need. Do the next one. There's also more opportunities for all of us to serve each other and demonstrate Christ's love among the brethren. Another point here of the challenge we had, you know, not every deacon had the same availability, which made some issues a challenge to address in a timely fashion. So with team focus, those acts of service that are, as again, not biblically set aside for a deacon have a better chance to be addressed sooner with more the more people we engage in service opportunities. Further, there are opportunities to build each other up as we serve together to help our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I know many of you are always very pleased to have the opportunity to help someone in need, and the team model helps to grant those opportunities for you to use your unique gifts. Your participation on a team helps identify your gift to us, and then helps us enable that lining up of needs to gifts, so that you can indeed serve the body. Another opportunity within this model is discipling each other. Say maybe you're in a mentoring relationship currently with a member who's a newer Christian, and you're mentoring them. Well, maybe this would be a good time for both of you to sign up on the same team, and you can serve together. You can have opportunities to serve together on the field and learn and grow together in Christ. So it's a good opportunity for mentoring relationships to come together and also work on ministry teams. Now, the team ministry model does challenge the traditional expectations. And whenever we challenge tradition, there's always some little feeling of, oh, that's not quite what I expect. It's always a little bit of a challenge. But I want to point out, tradition does place expectations in some scenarios that if a deacon is not personally involved, then the church does not minister to them. But I'd like to challenge us to remember that we are all the church. Anytime we serve one another, we have benefited by the service of the church. And as I said, I'm repeating this point. Yes, there is a unique office for deacon, and there are still activities that are appropriately taken care of only by the deacons. For example, financial benevolent needs. That's unique to the office of deacon, and that activity is segregated only to the deacons. So don't be concerned that if you get involved with one of these ministry teams, you're going to be asked to do something that's outside of the scope of what you should be involved in. We're very careful about that, and we honor and respect those the biblical office of deacon and the activities unique to that. The team ministry model also offers an opportunity to be a supplemental role to help ministry activities that are already ongoing within the church. We are very fortunate to have some very organized and proactive Sunday school classes that work diligently to meet the needs of the members of their class. This model does not seek to eliminate or replace such wonderful acts of loving service. We encourage you in those activities. We want you to continue in that. But this model does and can supplement that work. There are opportunities where some classes get challenged in trying to meet all the needs of their class. Well, they can engage one of these teams to help them in those areas. And this morning later, when we have individual team representatives addressing their teams, there's going to be some testimonies. And one of those testimonies will share how a team is really supporting a class in a particular need. So it'll become clear to you what I mean by that supplemental role and how it can benefit a class structure as well. The team model also grants us each a way to serve the entire body. We are one in the body of Christ, not one in our clique. As Pastor Greg was pointing out earlier, you know, it's very easy for us to assimilate together in our small groups on Sunday morning and get kind of lost in our co-related similar demographic world and forget about the special needs that may exist elsewhere in the body of Christ. Well, these teams offer us a chance for us all to get plugged in and understand the needs of others within our local congregation. So there are unique ways that we can serve and be blessed when we look outside of our groups to serve other members. And again, when we actually have the individual teams up here this morning, I believe you'll hear a testimony again in that area where an individual is certainly working outside of her class structure and is benefiting and being blessed by that opportunity. Next slide. Okay, local details of how the team ministry plays out at RBC. When we first started in the early 2000s, we had four teams, which have since merged into three teams. That was a combination of a dwindling number of deacons, and also there was two of the teams that had a lot of overlap, and it just seemed to make more sense to merge those two together. So, you can go ahead to the next point. The three current teams are Membership Matters, Benevolence and Physical Material Needs, and Hospital Homebound and Hospice Care. Proceed to the next one. So I'm just briefly going to introduce you to each of the deacons that leads these teams and point out what their broad focus is. And as I stated, each of these will have a representative that will be coming up to give more details on their team. So Membership Matters is currently under the deacon leadership of Jake Knutson and Justin Ralston. And this team has a broad focus on life events as well as helping to assimilate new members. Next one. We have the Benevolence and Physical Material Needs. This is under the deacon leadership of Dave Fanna and Scott O'Neill. Their broad focus of team is helping with temporary physical needs or family care in crisis situations. Deacon leaders address the actual direct financial assistance needs. So again, that segregation of activities that I pointed out earlier. And finally, Hospital, Homebound, and Hospice. Leadership is currently provided by Bob Strawn and Greg Watson, with a broad focus here being to provide encouragement, prayer, and Christian love for those in these scenarios defined by their ministry team title, those who are in the hospital, homebound, or under hospice care. For my part this morning in this presentation to you, I want to close by once again emphasizing the opportunity that partaking in ministry together gives us as we seek to serve one another. So I stated earlier, these ministry teams offer the chance to serve each other outside of our Sunday school class structure. So as we love one another in this way, we display the glorious unity of the church, a tremendous testimony to the world. So in that picture Pastor Greg showed earlier, we have a chance to complete this circle almost. We have the love of Christ in us, with the love of one another, and the world gets to see this by the display of our unity as we serve one another. God's glory then is revealed to the world by the unity found in the church, which is made possible by the love of Christ in each of us. A few verses, John 13, 34, 35, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So as we display these acts of loving kindness to one another, we reveal we are disciples of Christ. And this is revealed to all men. So it becomes a testimony to the world of the Lordship of Christ. John 17, 23, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So again, we see the focus of the unity of the body and how that is a testimony to the world. So when you partake in opportunities to serve your brothers or sisters in Christ, you're not only helping them, but you're offering a testimony into the world that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. To God be the glory in all that we seek to do in his name. Jay, you may proceed. He'll be addressing members of that.
Good morning. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Jay Knudsen. I'm one of the deacons. Justin and I, as you saw on the slide, lead the Membership Matters ministry team. And it's my privilege to be able to have a few minutes to tell you a little bit about that team and hopefully spur your interest a little bit. The Membership Matters team covers basically two broad areas, okay? And first is, I put up there new members. I think Mark referred to it as new member assimilation. So when someone joins the church, the team helps to assimilate them into the body. Where does a new member coming in, you know, has a feeling of, where do I go from here? Okay, the second broad area is life events, also referred to a few times by Mark, and that's going to include major changes as we go through life. It used to be known, for those of you who've been around for a while, as the Passages ministry team. So we, Membership Matters, does represent that group that merged together. Two teams merged together, the new member assimilation and former Passages to become Membership Matters. We are, however, one team, and so we really don't want to be seen as two separate teams. However, you do have the opportunity, if you'd like to serve on the Membership Matters team, to really focus in one area or the other, if that's where your passion is, that's where God is calling you to serve. We definitely want you to plug in there, or you can be multi-focused and serve in both areas. So let's talk a little bit about the individual things that we cover in these different areas. So go ahead, Greg. So on the new member side, go ahead one more, please. We generally contact people that have joined the church, that have gone through the process. Maybe they're in the process of getting to that vote on the Wednesday night for they're finally officially in. Typically they'll come forward. The deacon will have a packet. The deacon of the week will have a packet for that person with some materials. And then the Membership Matters team will send someone to either their home or maybe just touch base with them, go have coffee, and see if they have any questions about that material or about the church in general. Again, helping them figure out which way is up, where do I go, where do I fit in, that type of thing. Are there ministries that I can be involved in? And so on, lots of different questions that we have answered and will continue to answer. So that doesn't mean you have to be an expert on anything to be on that side of the Membership Matters team, but it really means just being a loving face and someone that a new member can identify with and really be able to go to. And you don't have to know the answers, but you often know where to go to get the answers. And if you don't know, come see me or Justin. So, and like I said, we encourage new members to get involved in ministry, not just come sit in the pew on Sunday morning, but membership is far more than that, as we all know. So, on the life events side, the first bullet point there is assist with funeral meals, and I'm going to come back and camp on that for just a few minutes. But we also assist with wedding showers, baby showers, and if there's any care that needs to go on after those major life events, okay, we assist with that. One of the other ministry teams actually is responsible, but the Membership Matters group will assist because we've been involved in the major life event, you know, from its happening. So let's talk a little bit about the funeral luncheons, okay? Most of you probably know that has been a very active area for the Membership Matters team and for our church this year. We have had, correct me if I'm wrong, one of the pastors, 11 funerals for members this year in 2010. So the team was really starting to be stretched with the structure that we had as far as being able to keep up with the needs that were out there. We were, as Mark said, very fortunate to have some very organized and proactive Sunday school classes that generally handle most of the details around providing a funeral luncheon if one of their members or one of their members' spouses passes away. However, when you have that many coming so quickly, it really started to get, more than the classes could handle. So this year we've kind of reorganized that piece of Membership Matters a little bit. Carolyn Anderson is now actually a funeral coordinator within the Membership Matters team, and she has three different team leaders that work under her, Elaine Tornero, Chris Cavanaugh, and Colleen Zambrano, to really take the lead where needed to help with the funeral luncheon, serve, get extra food if needed. There's all those different kinds of things. The paradox of the funeral luncheon is it's such an incredibly sad time for our church and particularly for the class and the members of the family. The exciting thing is that people can be introduced to the gospel through that time. Not just the funeral service, okay, but the body of Christ coming together to serve the family, the friends, and people that oftentimes will not darken the door of a church will come and they will be here at the church service and at the luncheon. So it's a really incredible time, opportunity for ministry. Now, it also is a really good fit for a lot of people to be able to help with that because the commitment can be as large or as small. I mean, Carolyn has made a tremendous commitment to be able to head up this area, the team leaders as well. But you could serve on a team and serve in a smaller way if that's what you can do. Okay? If you can commit to bring a couple of cans of green beans, okay, when someone passes and needs a funeral luncheon, that's a wonderful thing for us. Okay? So now I mentioned, and I don't want to run over my time, but I do want to bring up Pat Holderby. She is the teacher of one of the classes that I mentioned that is incredibly organized. They have a set menu. Come on up. A set menu. They have a great system for being able to deal with that. But their class was particularly hard hit this last year. And so I just wanted her to say a few words to you about how Membership Matters and her class kind of partner together.
Well, so far, our class, the Forever Young class, has not had much need for bridal showers or baby showers. However, who knows? I would like to share with you this morning a few words about the Membership Matters ministry group that we have worked with. And that's the team that, as he has explained to you, works with you when to provide meals to families during the loss of an immediate family member. Many of you know that over the last 8 to 10 months, our class lost four wonderful ladies. And that's quite a blow to a class. We wanted to do right by them by having the finest luncheon for their grieving families that we could. But for various reasons, our ladies became unable to do all that was necessary to make that happen. The chairman of our benevolent committee contacted the Deacons Membership Matters ministry team for assistance, and I must say, they stepped right in and filled that void. They did the planning. They contacted people for food. They prepared food. They set up the tables. They took down the tables, and they cleaned up. And I have to tell you, talk about organized. We were impressed. And each time that they helped us, they were so very gracious to our ladies to be sure that everything they did was okay with them. Beside the fact that our class was so glad to have this team to call on, we had the opportunity to meet with and work with some folks that we didn't know very well, maybe didn't even know their names. And believe me, getting to know them and to work with them has been a blessing. Now, you may not have had need for this kind of assistance yet, but you probably will before it's over. And then you'll see how important this particular ministry team is. It would be great if they had more people on their team because they could really use them. And this is if you want to be a part of something that is really important to the church, work with really nice people, and most importantly, leave a lasting, loving memory with family members, many of whom you may never see again, and many who are not saved. Why don't you pray about it and see if maybe God is directing you to be with this great ministry team? They would be very happy for you to join them.
Thank you so much, Pat. Couldn't have said it better myself. I said before, it doesn't take a large commitment. You may just be interested in providing a small item when an occurrence happens. You may be able to come and clean up afterwards or set up tables beforehand but not be involved in the actual event. Any of those things are great. So I encourage you, as Pat said, pray about it, think about it. I am going to explain. We have some sign-up sheets if you'd like to put your name on the team list out on the table out here to your left as you go out. Our list is a little bit unique because of the two areas that we cover. We ask for your contact information, but then if you would, check if you'd like to be on the new member assimilation side or the life event side. There's two columns here, or both. Okay, so feel free to check both or either one. So thank you very much, and thanks for your time this morning.
Well, my name is Scott O'Neill, for those of you who don't know me, and I knew we would be having PowerPoint problems this morning, so I didn't have any slides that I have this morning. I'll just be speaking to you from my notes here. But I have the pleasure of working with Dave Fannin on the Benevolent and Material Needs team. And I think it's especially important and close to my heart because I know that the Lord's concern is providing for his people and serving his people. And while all the teams do that, I think it's really a privilege to serve in a special way the immediate needs of the body. You know, the Lord does say that when one member of the body hurts or suffers, then all of the members suffer. Sometimes when those members who are suffering are out of sight, or you maybe not, they don't know them, you don't feel that suffering in the same way, and there's not that opportunity to reach out and help alleviate that suffering. And really what our Lord Christ Jesus has demonstrated for us is giving, serving in a way that meets real needs. Of course, our salvation, but so much more than that. There are two aspects to our team as well. Of course, the benevolence ministry part of our team, and then there's also the physical material needs side of the team. As Mark Prince stated earlier, the benevolence side of the team is handled primarily by Dave Fannin and myself, along with, of course, the other deacons. These are things where someone in our church community has a financial need, a financial crisis, something that really they need assistance with. They can let us know, let the deacons know, the pastors know, or if the Sunday school classes make known to us a physical material need that we can meet, maybe help them pay their gas bill or something like that. It's a real need, or some food, some groceries, then we can make sure that need is met. You all certainly participate by giving faithfully, week by week by week, to help us have the money to do these sorts of things, to reach out and to give. And when we collect the benevolence offering on the way out from our services, that's where the money goes. So when we get a call that someone has a sink that's all plugged up and they don't have any money to fix it, well, we can make sure that your money that you've given is administered properly to get someone out there to unplug that sink. Or if we get a call from someone in the community who has been struggling and needs some groceries, I took some food over to a gentleman staying at a local extended stay who called and said, I really need help. And I was able to go and to meet him and, you know, to introduce our church to him, to provide him with some gospel materials and just bring couple of bags of groceries in the name of Jesus Christ, and it was a blessing to me, and if you're part of our team, you can help share in that joy by working with us. Now, the primary way that you would be involved as a member of our team is with the material need side, not so much the giving and benevolent side, because there's a certain amount of discretion that needs to go along with that, and that's why the deacons take the lead in that. But our hope is that for the physical material side, we would have a team of people that are able to help us in serving some needs in our church. So for example, if you're a plumber, maybe you could go unplug the sink. Okay. Or if one of our widows is snowed in and I hear there's a storm coming, so maybe y'all want to sign up fast because we're going to need some shovelers. Or we had a team go out on a Saturday just this fall to rake leaves. Okay? So we help serve those sorts of physical needs for those who have an immediate need. Now, let me say this. It does not mean that we're going to call you every snowfall or every time the leaves start to fall or every time that we need to serve in some certain capacity within our community. We may not need our whole team, and my hope is that we'll have so many people show up that, you know, one yard can't hold all of you, but, you know, the point is to have you on the list. So you may not be called every time, and you also may not be able to make every time. You may not be able to make it. Don't feel guilty. So what is the commitment? What am I asking of you this morning? Just to let us know that you're willing to serve. That if we have a need and we contact you, that you'd be willing to serve when you're able. And you won't always be able. But just let us know that you're willing. You know, we really share as the body of Christ the responsibility for doing this ministry. And we do it in many ways. But like Mark said, and like the previous testimony demonstrates, there are times when the cup of need just overflows and we need a team to go to. We need people who say, call me if that happens. If there are needs, give me a call. And if I can make it, I'll be there. I know for those of you who have a group of friends that would like to serve together, for instance, the young singles class, we're making a commitment to be on a ministry team together. So, you know, we may not make it every time. But that when the need arises, we have something where we can serve together. Not creating something, but when the need arises and the need is there, we can say, hey, let's call the team. And whoever can make it, let's serve together. One other thing before, you know, I close and turn it over to the next team is just, we're here. We're here. We really do want to help meet needs. We do want to serve. We don't just want to be a team that people come to and then go to serve. We want to be a team that people come to when they have needs. So let us know. Talk to me. Talk to Dave Fannin. Talk to another member of the team. If someone in your class has a need, who snowed in, who has a physical need or even a benevolent need where they need some financial assistance. But God has blessed us with people willing to give and willing to serve. And we would be glad, we'd be so glad to hear of opportunities to be blessed by serving those needs. So if you can think of something, please see me, please see Dave Fannin or another member of the team. You'll be able to see the other folks that are signed up out there with their names on the sheet. And thank you very much for your time. We do pray that the Lord would lead many to serve with us, alongside us, and pray about it. And come see us if you have any questions. We will be out in the foyer and in the fellowship hall, if you all have any questions for us. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Bob Strine, for those of you who don't know me. If you love Jesus, why not serve him? That's what I'm coming and bringing to you this morning, an opportunity to show your love for Jesus and to serve him. Now, I don't have a PowerPoint. I come from a generation that was impolite to point, let alone PowerPoint. So I'm not going to do that. And that's just a way of saying that's beyond me. I don't understand how you even do that. So Greg Watson and I head up the team that visits people in the hospital or in a hospice, have health needs, are homebound, cannot get out by themselves, cannot fellowship any longer because they're bound to be at home or in the hospital. And as we all know how important fellowship is, that is my love, is the ability to fellowship with my fellow Christians. It's always lifts me up, and I can't imagine how terrible it must be not to be able to fellowship anymore. Although I did have an experience here recently when my mother passed away. My mother had been very sick for a number of years, and I always knew when one of the ladies of the church had come to fellowship with her, because she was much happier, less depressed, and had things to talk about. They had talked over things that had happened in the past, what is going on now, and it just made her so happy to be able to fellowship with a Christian person, somebody that she knew and had common experience with. This is a team that I will tell you, we will never ask you to shovel snow. But we will ask you to come out maybe in when the weather's not too good. Well, I'm not talking into the mic enough? Okay. I'm surprised my wife didn't tell me, because she always tells me I talk too low, but I stay out of trouble if she can't hear what I say. But it is so... This is a team where you won't have to shovel snow, but you might have to go out in the snow. It's a team where you will get as much out of it as you put into it because of that love that you share. I'm going to introduce a young woman to you that will indicate to you that age doesn't matter. You can be young, you can be middle-aged, you can be elderly as long as you can get out. I'm introducing a young lady that even though she had child care responsibilities, that didn't stop her. She took the child along. And that child going along gave him an opportunity to learn about Christian love. An opportunity to learn that older people are really nice people. So I'm not going to say much more other than to introduce Shelley Gage. And by the way, Shelley is getting married and going to leave us, and she has been so faithful, we've got to get somebody to replace Shelley. That's all there is to it. Okay.
Good morning. Bob made me do this last year. I should have saved what I said on the computer and could have read the same thing, but sorry. As Mark had mentioned before, you know, this gives me an opportunity to work with other people outside my class. I would be really comfortable working with just Scott and Emily and people my age, but when Bob asked me to be on this team 2 years ago, I would have said 1 year. You know, 1 year would be enough to step out of my comfort zone. But now I enjoy it. After just a few visits, you become comfortable with people that are not your age. There's at least 50, if not more, years between the two ladies, you know, that I visit, their age and mine. Winter is by far my least favorite season. I hate cold weather. I hate the snow. I hate being sick. And as many of you know that have small children, when you get sick or your kids get sick, it can take weeks before you come back to church. And when you're not at church, do you miss not being here? Do you miss the fellowship, you know, with your class and with others? I do. And our shut-ins also do. The shut-ins that I visit haven't been at church in, I don't even know how long, 6, 7, 8 years. And I know that they miss not being able to be here. You know, they've never met Pastor Greg, and he's been here almost 2 years. Things like that. And so when we go to visit our shut-ins, they really enjoy the company. Sometimes the only times they get out of the house are to doctor's appointments, and that's no fun. That's not fellowship. So they love having company, even if it's just once a month for 15 minutes. Usually when I'm there, it's at least 2 hours. But you're only committed, you know, to make the visit. There's not a time limit. You'll probably find yourself visiting longer and longer each time. You'll find more things to say and things to talk about. So just remember when you're stuck in the house this winter with sick kids that there are others that, you know, would love to get out just as much as you do, and they can't. You know, they're blessed by just a phone call or a card, or even a visit if you do have time. The good news is if you've already committed to be on one of the other teams or to renew your commitment to the team that you're on last year, you can still send cards or make a phone call or even take your kids and visit them. I'm sure Bob will let you. Hi, Bob. And I do need a replacement. So.
Thanks, Shelly. Shelly has been so loyal, and she has given so much. It's obvious that she does love him, so she serves him. We have a sign-in sheet out here that is shut-in specific. We have names of all of our shut-ins here on this list. This will give you an opportunity to sign up for a specific person. You don't have to sign up for a specific person. If you want to sign up just and then make calls as you're needed, you can do that too. But the list is for specific people. So we would ask that you sign up. And I have to say again, if you love him, why not serve him? Thank you.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Steve Cavanaugh. In wrapping up, my goal is to help you answer the question, why should you be involved? Why should you sign up on a team? That's really the goal of this time together, is to get you to sign up if you're not already signed up. If you are signed up, to get you to sign up again on one of these ministry teams. So let me give you five reasons. There are a lot, but let me just give you five reasons why you should sign up and be involved in this ministry if you're a member. All right? This is ministry by members, for members and others, but it is the body ministering to itself and to others. So other than being a member, there's no requirements to be on a ministry team. It's open to all members. The nominating committee doesn't have to nominate you. The church doesn't have to elect you to one of these ministry teams. You just sign up. There are no age restrictions, whether young or old. If you are a member of Reynoldsburg Baptist Church, you can be on one of these ministry teams. So it's open to everyone, every member. So if you're not a member, I would encourage you. We're going to be having the Firm Foundation class next month, every Sunday morning during the Sunday school hour. So that would be required for you to be a member. So that would be a good place for you to start. But if you are a member, it's open to you. Secondly, it honors God's calling of all of his people to be ministers. All right. It is somewhat erroneous to call me the minister of Reynoldsburg Baptist Church, or Pastor Greg and I, the ministers. We're all ministers because we're all called to serve. And that's what the word minister means. It means servant. And so we're all called to serve. And it honors God's calling of all of us to be servants, to be ministers to one another. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, numerous other passages make that very clear. We've all been gifted. We've all been called to serve, to minister to one another. Number three, it avoids what is common in secular organizations from happening in the church. That is what's called the 20-80 principle, all right? That 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And the other 80%, well, you have another 30% who do 50 who do the other 20% and 50% do nothing. That is a scandal in the church for that to be the case. Our goal is every member being involved in ministry. Every member who is every member being involved in ministry. Start saying every member is able. Every member is able. We're all gifted. It doesn't mean you can do everything, even all the things that have been mentioned on these ministry teams. But we really don't want to be like a secular organization where 20% of the people get stuck with doing 80% of the work. We want everybody to be involved in ministry. Number four, it helps you to obey Galatians 6:2, God's word that says, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. All right? We are to love one another, not only in word, but in deed. And the Lord says, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. So this helps you. We're trying to help you to obey God's word, give you an opportunity to do that. Now, we're not saying that this is the only way you can do it, but it's a great way to do it. Again, because you don't have to be elected. You know, you don't have to fit anybody's idea of a servant or a minister. You can serve if you're a member of Reynoldsburg Baptist Church. Number five is that, and Shelley did a great job of giving a testimony on this point. It grows you as you stretch outside your natural comfort zone. We have a tendency to get in our little comfort zones. A lot of times it is our classes, you know, where we get to know people and we're comfortable with people, and that becomes our church. As important as a Sunday school class is not the church. It just isn't. The church is the body of Christ. It is a representation of the church, and certainly an important part of the church, but we need to be stretched out of these natural demographic groups in order to get to know the body and serve the body of Christ. So it grows you. Shelley, didn't know I was going to say this, but it does. It grew her, and it's grown other people who have gotten out of their natural comfort zone. It stretched them, and that's where growth occurs. It's out of your comfort zone. That's really where it occurs. So it helps you to grow. So these are just five reasons why you should sign up and be involved in one of these ministry teams. I'm going to have more to say about ministry, in particular every member ministry, tonight in my evening sermon. But knowing that some of you won't be here, I thought I'd go ahead and touch on some of these points this morning. But I hope you will be here tonight. I hope you'll all even stay for the service afterwards, all right? We do have a worship service after this, so I hope you'll all be here for that as well. All right, Mark Prince is going to come and bring this time to a close.
A couple points. A few of the deacons have mentioned we do have sign-up sheets out in the foyer. There'll be three separate tables, one representing each team. There'll be one of the two deacons at that table to answer any questions and help address signing up. Additionally, the Membership Matters team was kind enough to help set up a mini fellowship for us for the time between this morning's combined class and our worship service. So if you want to proceed into the fellowship hall, there are some donuts and some other little snack items for you to choose from. And they're set up also by ministry tables. And so there'll also be a deacon at one of those tables. So again, if you don't get a chance to ask a question because the lines are so long at the tables, proceed into the fellowship hall and you can ask your questions there. So I think that's the main points about the structure of that. But let me close our time in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have gifted us with unique gifts. And we thank you for the opportunities that come before us to use these and for your honor and your glory, dear Lord. And pray that for those that are considering and contemplating their opportunities to serve, that you would make it clear upon their hearts where you would like for them to serve, dear Lord. We thank you for all those who have served in the past and blessings that have both been upon those who have served and those who have received the service, dear Lord. We do indeed pray that our works together as a body of Christ is a testimony to this world, and that your kingdom will grow from it. We pray for these things in Christ's name. Amen.